The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Hello and welcome into another episode of Nosebleeds on WFUV Sports. I am Barrett Spreitzer, joined by my co-hosts today, Max Spitza and Joe Henry, as well as Derek Bollier on the board. How are we doing, fellas?
Yeah, doing pretty good. The weather's fantastic out, so can't really complain at all, especially with the looming cold weather coming next week.
Yeah, it's been a fun week. Me and Spitza got to do a baseball game for Fordham a week ago, and it was so bad that in the sixth inning, they panned to the bullpen, and BCU's bullpen arms were playing golf.
Yeah, I noticed that. I did one on Friday, I believe, and
yeah,
they thing. Had the golf clubs out the whole game. It was something I hadn't seen before, but
yeah,
I mean, they were chipping it really well. They were chipping the ball across the bullpen, and they kept it in the pen. So
it was
can't
Masters
say that's something
weekend,
I would have been able to
but,
do.
But that kind of told the story of that game and that series really as a whole. And then yesterday was fun. My roommate got MLB TV, so I've just been mixing that off of him. I don't know if he got it or his mom got it, but he has it, is all that matters. So we'd just be flipping through all these random games every night. And we got that notification last night that Parker Messick had a no-hitter through eight, so we turned it on, and the broadcaster was like, Parker Messick stands three outs away from history. First pitch single.
So
we were dying.
You could say that was the announcer curse, but
it
might have just been you.
That might
have
been on me.
You did turn it on as soon as he gave up a
hit.
It
was awesome.
So I think that might be on you.
Right now, every time I turn on any sports team that I like, when I see they're doing well in a game, they end up losing the game.
Mm. Have you started, like, acting accordingly? Do you just shut it off?
See, an example is Real Madrid played Bayern the other day, and they were doing fantastic. And so I was like, I'm not going to turn it on. Then they scored another goal. They had three goals in the first half, so I was like, all right, I need to watch this. This isn't going to happen. And then they blew it and lost 4-3, which is not very fun. And then Suns also did it to me against the Blazers in that one series, or the play-in game. So it just keeps happening. Brewers are a lost cause when it comes to it, so I just watch their games regardless.
Yeah, my teams aren't doing well anyways, so it's not like I can turn on a game and jinx them. The Astros are 8-12 and have the worst pitching staff in the history of baseball. Literally, the pitching is worse than the Colorado Rockies, and the Colorado Rockies play at 50,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah, so. I remember my Red Sox playing the Astros, and it was like they had, you know, the 2001 Oakland A's 1-2-3 rotation.
Yeah, that was nice. It was a good feeling, and that went away very quickly.
Yeah. That's what you get when you get to play the Red Sox and then back to, like, real life.
Yeah. Well, Mike Trout had a different experience, and we'll talk about that a little bit as we get in the Yankees. But if he could play the Astros and the Yankees every game this season, he might hit 85 home runs and finally get to 500. Because, my goodness, five home runs this weekend against the Yankees, the most by a visiting player ever. He homered in every game in that series as well. I mean, him and Judge were going kind of back to back there for a little bit as well. So, just a crazy series for Mike Trout. And if he, the thing is, so he had that great Astros series to start the season.
Yep.
And then I don't think he had like four hits in between that series and the Yankees series.
Yep.
And then he went off in the Yankees series. So is it just like a situation where he's going to have a couple great series and the stats at the end of the season will look okay? He's also walking a lot, so that could be it. But I know I'm praying for a great Mike Trout.
He's walking a ton. He's walking 20% of the time.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, I think everyone, though, is like very much rooting for him, regardless of who you...
Yeah.
Because I don't think... Do the Angels even really have a rival team?
No.
Not really. supposed to be the Dodgers.
It's not. It's not the Dodgers.
But that's not. It's not
the Dodgers, and it's not really. It's not the Mariners.
No. So I think everyone's just like, we would love to see him come back.
The A's don't deserve a rival team either. They don't even have a home. How can you be a rival if you don't?
I was watching their game yesterday for whatever reason. Shout out to my professors, but it was in class, so I did have a reason. But I genuinely was watching. I was like, these players, like, it must be so weird to like have to go, especially if you're in their division, to go and play in a minor league field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the facilities definitely aren't what they are for what you like.
Yeah, the clubhouse is in center field, so you got to walk out to center field to get to the
clubhouse.
Yeah,
it probably
that's
feels like you're in a spring train. Like, imagine you're like chasing the postseason. You're like three games out, and all of a sudden, like, you have a series against the A's to finish the year. Like, what do you do? Go celebrate in Sacramento after? Like, I don't think so.
I couldn't tell
no,
you.
No hate to Sacramento, but...
That was kind of a stray.
A slight stray to Sacramento. I apologize.
I don't know if it was a slight stray. It was kind of
stray.
Just head on.
The Rays no longer playing at a minor league field. That's nice. But
that
like
they were also the only team that had their home opener on a weekday, and it was on a Monday. First game in that stadium
no
in over a year.
Yeah.
And they stuck them on a Monday home opener. The only team that didn't have a weekend home
what
opener.
What happened to them moving stadiums?
Their work, dude, it's...
Wasn't that a big thing? Like, they were going to move?
Their lease is only through, like, 2027.
Yeah, their lease is...
Oh, so it's coming up.
I think it's
wasn't a now thing. It was a later thing. Okay.
I think they're raising funding on it, or at least on renovations. Like,
the only thing burned into my head from the drop being back is that foul ball where that guy tried to track it down and his pants fell down. Do you not know about that?
I don't think I know about that.
Oh, my God, it's awesome. You have to watch that after this.
All right, remind me after. Dude, that is something I've never heard of.
This guy goes running for the foul ball, takes a spill, his pants come all the way off, and the color guy just goes, "Everyone okay there?" And then silence. It's so good.
All right, Spitz looks like he's pulling it up, but...
It's so classic, man.
Was that this season?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
that was
I thought
season.
You were talking about the player. Yeah, I have seen this.
No,
it's the fan.
Phenomenal.
It's the fan.
I know if players' pants didn't fall down.
Well, I know. I was confused how a player's pants fell down. It's the guy. Yeah, it's like, it's like just, I don't even know how the pants fall down before he moves, too.
He hadn't
he
even
just
fallen
stood up.
Yet. They just
he
fell.
Just stood up and it fell.
That's insane.
Hey, man, living life. Living life free.
Things you do for a foul
going
ball.
Going commando into the Rays game. It is hot in that stadium. I have been there. It's humid.
Whoa, did you guys know that?
Stay cool.
Did you guys know you could get to Baseball Savant directly from the MLB website?
I didn't, but I know now.
I don't know. Interesting. Now I can look at all those red and blue bubbles all the time.
Dude, I'm staring at Trout's right now.
A lot of red, a lot of blue?
A lot of red, just a little bit of blue. A little defensive blue so far.
Well, they moved him back into center field. And
yeah.
I don't know. Mentally, it must have changed something because he's having a great season. But defensively, he is old.
That's why they have Jorge Soler in. And right?
Adele's
Adele's in right. Yeah.
Who's also like
he played insane defense like the first series.
That game is so weird.
He had one game of insane.
He's statistically a statistically very bad defender.
Yeah, it's so random.
And then he just had the greatest defensive game of all time. So
he saw Mike Trout in center field and he's like,
turned
I gotta
into Willie
show
Mays
out
for a game for some reason.
He actually has a negative outs above average despite
which
that
is
game.
Hard because that game was like he had like I think it was 2.4 defensive run save, 3.4.
Yeah, he also like robbed a home run.
He robbed three home runs.
Including a game tying homer in the ninth.
Yeah, that's what was one I was thinking of.
And he went into the stands. He
went into the stands
there.
And then just stood up. Honestly, I don't know what that rule
and
is.
His pants stayed up.
Yeah.
That didn't land.
Honestly, it kind of passed me for a second, but now I locked it in. I looked at you.
That
like, what did you just
say? Miss, man.
All
right. Well,
yeah,
I lost you guys my headphones, so we're gonna go no headphones for the rest of this show.
Okay.
I don't know if that was a me thing.
Oh,
or
your
not,
headphones actually stopped working.
Yeah, I actually just can't hear you guys in it.
Okay. Persevere.
Can you guys hear me still?
Yeah.
All right. Perfect.
Don't worry about it.
So we'll just do this. And
I can also read your lips if I have to.
Well, we are also sitting 2 inches away. You could probably just take the headphones off if that was really an issue, but...
Good. Or I could give it a try.
You could give it a try. Speaking of baseball savant pages, which is, we'll get this back to the Yankees here, is Ben Rice has a lot of bread on his, despite Aaron Boone doing his best to make him just a platoon bat with making sure old man Paul Goldschmidt gets as many ABs as possible, I guess.
You want to be able to fire Benny Rice in any given situation.
If you can fire Benny Rice off in any situation, man, you're in a good spot.
Just rip out
one
Benny
of the
Rice.
Worst rationales ever. Given.
Yeah, I just want to be able to fire off Benny Rice in whatever
just
situation.
Fire him off. I want to fire him off 4 times a game. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Like
I would love.
Yes,
to,
yes, it
I
is.
I would
crazy.
Love to fire off Benny Rice first AB of the game. That'd be insane, right?
Dude,
leading off. Imagine if I could just fire Benny Rice off first pitch you got to throw. Oh my goodness.
The more times I can fire him off, the better. I don't understand the rationale.
No,
it's not like he's not hitting. Against lefties, like he's hitting everyone. Yeah. No sense. I understand Goldie, and he's been hitting fine
for the first
like
14 games of the season before Aaron Boone decided he was a platoon bat. He was leading the league in OPS, and he's still up there. I think he's like fourth or fifth right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like Paul Goldschmidt was on that USA World Baseball Classic team. Maybe played one game. And that kind of shows something because the other option was Bryce Harper, who was going
0-57.
Bryce Harper. Yeah. So it's like that's how much faith.
It almost like Ben Rice should almost consider like intentionally striking out when he gets pinch hit, because part of the problem is now he gets pinch hit and he just hits dongs.
Yeah,
he just hits homers, walks.
It's like if you're gonna fire me off,
I mean, he's got an eight. He's
like,
got an
if you're firing off Benny
OPS
Rice and you're Benny Rice and you don't want to be fired off like that, I would consider just standing there with the bat in your shoulder.
It would be the Yankee thing to do.
Yeah,
it's to stand up your manager just by purposely striking out to then get somehow more starts instead.
Yeah, I don't really understand it because he's got an 833 OPS versus lefties. Granted, it's only 14 at-bats, but I don't understand it because it's not like Paul Goldschmidt is even close to that. So,
I mean, how old is Paul Goldschmidt, man?
Older than dirt.
He is 38. Oh, my gosh.
Only 38.
That's
I mean,
old
he's
man.
Playing
like
fine. 44. Like he's fine, but
the thing is, he looks really old too. Though, just the way he never really moved that great.
Yeah.
Even in Arizona, he was very much a one-step guy to the ball. Won a couple Gold Gloves, but that's because.
What do you mean, dude? He was a stolen base merchant.
Well, yeah, but like he just doesn't look the most athletic when he's still being. When he stole bases.
He had like 30 SBs
like,
one year.
He looks like the guy from Cloudy Chance and Meatballs. Like the police officer when he runs a little bit.
Oh.
That's
quite the pull. I have a guy in my head. I'm not sure I have the right guy. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah,
guy.
That's kind of how he looks. Max just because he's just like.
Threw the arms up and down.
Because he's just like. I don't know.
He's chugging. It's a little bit Yoshida-esque.
Yeah.
That type of run form that looks so perfect, but it's like there's no way that's aerodynamically
optimal. That can't be helping you out.
But it looks beautiful.
But it looks good.
He's always keeping his aura intact.
You can't lose the aura these days.
All about the aura. Benny Rice has the aura when he pinch hits. For some reason, I can't find his pinch hit splits on Baseball Savant, so we're just going to go back to that.
I know he has a pinch hit homer, had a pinch hit sack fly against the Rays. It doesn't really matter. Like he's been their second best hitter regardless.
Yeah,
like regardless of if he's starting or pinch hitting, and when you're like, I don't understand.
To be
it's
fair,
one thing to do it if he was struggling and
be
like,
okay.
To
be fair to Goldie, he is getting on base a lot with a 500 slug, 188 OPS. He's Kyle Schwarber maxing.
He's Schwarber maxing.
He only has
like,
28 Bs though.
Yeah, because he's only hitting against lefties.
I just like.
Good point.
To me, Rice is at an age where, like, if he was struggling, then it would be a debate of whether or not he needs to be platooned. He's not struggling.
No.
So why is he not in the lineup
every
day?
He's, what, 26?
He's, like, 23.
25. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and it's not like you have some, like, insane veteran that you're putting ahead of him. That would even make more sense.
Like, he's a veteran, but he's not.
But he's not, like.
He's not prime Paul Goldschmidt.
Like, oh, no. Ben Rice is 27. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yankees,
in my head, he was 23.
Yankees are old prospect guys only.
That's true.
Benny Rice. Fire him off in any situation. Benny Rice. Unbelievable. That was such an insane quote.
That's classic Boone, though. That's the way he talks. Like, I remember going to a game, mid-July at Yankee Stadium, and Volpe was, like, really scuffling in all ways, as he did all season, but specifically at that point. And there was a play mid-game where he, like, had a routine ball to shortstop with a runner on first, so potential double play ball. Or rather, the runner was on second. So one guy on second, ball hit to him at short, had the out at first. Instead of going to first, he fakes and throws back to second to try and get the guy leading off of second. It did not work. And they were like, why did he do that? And Boone was like, now you can say whatever you want about Volpe's there, but that was a heady play by the kid. That was a heady play.
I do recall that.
If
that
he
was
made
insane.
That, that's a heady play.
He always
says it over and over.
His vocabulary is like he's trying to match like the young
whippersnappers.
Young, yeah, like he's like, it's almost like just then us saying aura. Like that's his equivalent of saying like
yeah.
aura. And
my
stuff
mom
like
texted
that.
Me today and it contained the word mid.
You were like, yes.
I don't know what I would do.
The revolving.
If my mom texted me mid.
You just got to move forward.
Just ignore it.
It's kind of my fault. Like, if I talk normally to my mom, then she's going to pick up my language. And my mom, of course, wants to connect with me, so she's going to start.
So she's going to do extensive research into these words.
I hope she's not researching it. She's just kind of throwing them out there.
Ooh, it's Yankees hockey jersey night.
It is.
Might buy some tickets to that.
Oh, I did see that.
To celebrate.
It's also Chipotle.
Is that today?
Buy one, get one free if you wear a hockey jersey. I don't know why I know that.
On the
20th, I just saw an ad.
I guess I'll have to be wearing my Fordham hockey jersey.
You have
yeah, the whole house is going to have to share my Rangers jersey.
I know, I think Tuck's going today for the hockey jersey giveaway.
Yeah, that's pretty
As
cool.
As is tradition, a senior at FUB will snatch that up. Make sure no one else can have that, which is totally fair. I remember Lou and Will both went last year.
Just for it?
Just to secure it. You know, it was this point of the year, like, they're pretty much done.
Yeah, you know, you got to celebrate the Rangers' amazing season they just had. By giving out the hockey jersey, then you make playoffs.
First 18,000, yeah, that's like half the stadium.
Wait, that's a lot. 18,000. I always wonder,
guys.
Like, how is that economically feasible?
Did you see the?
I don't know.
Did you see
I guess
the?
You expect them to spend a lot of money.
I guess
the
maybe
Padres.
It's, if you're struggling to get sellouts, but the Yankees don't struggle to sell out the stadium, so.
Yeah, just a hockey jersey has to cost a lot to make.
Yeah,
is it nice?
I don't know, but it has to cost at least like $20.
Yeah.
Right?
18, and then they get that back, though. They get the price of it back with one water.
With one? Okay.
That is true. That is true.
One water and a basket of fries.
That actually looks pretty cool.
They're making it. They're in the green.
It's like unironically true, yeah.
That looks pretty cool, actually. Oh, it's got StubHub on it. I would never wear that. I have a perennial beef with StubHub now.
Baron will never be friends with StubHub.
Oh, yeah, it looks kind of cheap.
What happened with StubHub?
They tried to rob me of $700.
Chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't put it on my card. He put it on his because I didn't have to deal with
it. This is now, we're going on 18 months of this dispute with StubHub.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Wait, so you still haven't gotten it back?
Well, no. Oh. But they also, now they're telling me I owe them money.
Oh.
So.
Do you?
No, I
Be
don't.
Be honest.
I think we're even now, but I don't remember. It's
even
been so
now.
Long, I don't even remember where we're at.
I think we're even.
I've deleted my StubHub account, but I still get emails from them. So I probably shouldn't have said that, actually, that this could be used as evidence against me in court if they try to sue me for the money back. But they owe me money, so it's
sue you. You're cooked, man.
It's $700. I don't know. They're telling me I owe them the money that they owe me. It was a whole convoluted series of events over Tomorrowland in the French Alps.
The French Alps that we didn't go to.
That we didn't go to. Thank God we didn't go to because we wouldn't have gotten in because the tickets I bought were fake. So I tried to sell them. And then
did they end up being fake?
Yeah, the people didn't get in. And that's why they're saying I owe them money because they're saying I sold fake tickets. But I was like,
oh
no,
God,
I was just reselling
didn't get in.
Tickets that I bought on your website.
The people didn't get in.
That's not looking good for you, man.
That is not looking.
No.
I didn't know
but
that.
They were
that's
my
something new.
I never got
something
the tickets.
You hid that
story
from me.
The truth comes out.
They weren't real tickets. So I should. The other person that I bought them for should owe the money.
That's so.
As is true in their guidelines. And as I've confirmed with customer support in no less than 4 separate 2.5-hour phone calls. Mm-hmm. I've confirmed with them that I was not in the wrong, and somehow I still, one, don't have my money, and two, somehow owe them money. So StubHub, I'll never use them again. And if I ever am successful in life, I'm going to make it my mission to end that company.
Okay. If I am successful, this is first on my list.
It is. If I'm ever successful enough to have a team of very incredible lawyers, I'm going right at them.
When I buy my first company, this is my first mission.
I'm going to buy StubHub and then just dissolve it and make sure I fire everyone who works there.
You're going to find out who worked with you. Anyways, going away from the StubHub, though, have you seen the Padres with the puffer vest as well?
I haven't seen the puffer vest.
Yeah, they had a puffer vest, and it was like they didn't do it in an orderly fashion in the slightest.
What are you even referring to?
What are
you talking
about?
They had a puffer vest, and they didn't do it in an orderly fashion.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so you know how usually
you can't look anything up on Google without AI showing up.
You know, usually you like show up, like you show, like you scan your ticket, you walk in, hand you the thing.
Okay.
Like after you scan your ticket, they like hand you whatever giveaway it is.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't do that. They just had people standing on like tables, like waving the puffer vests. Nice. By the way, all the people in the tables wearing the puffer vest, and it was just hordes of people trying to get these puffer vests.
Padres respond to puffer pandemonium.
Puffer pandemonium.
Kids were reportedly getting trampled.
There were
crying.
Brawls over the puffer vests.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Slam Diego.
It does sound like an Orsillo call.
Isn't that
puffer pandemonium?
Jeez. Probably riots in San Diego over this puffer vest.
Big fire. Oh, actually, it looks pretty sick.
It's pretty sick, isn't it? Yeah,
that looks pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I'd fight over that.
And then the worst part, though, was genuinely the people handing them out had them on. And they were just like tossing them. There's videos of them just tossing them into the crowd, handing them out here and there. In the background, you can like hear kids crying. It's because they got absolutely trampled by a 58-year-old who really needed his Padres puffer vest.
That's so
ridiculous. This is like, that's when it takes a step too far.
Puffer pandemonium. You've been talking about the Padres a lot today. Are you switching fandoms or what's going on with that?
No, I was talking. My cousin's a big Padres fan. I was talking to him last night. He's not happy with Tatis right now.
But
still
like
playing well though. No, he just hasn't hit a home run.
He just hasn't hit a home run. Padres are playing great, so it's
They're winning games. So
Mason Miller is a stud.
He's insane. Those numbers are ridiculous. And the amount of what is that 3 walk-offs now in the past week? Holy sheets.
I think it is.
I try to remember them by the call. Holy sheets, Merrill Madness, and what was the first one? Remember, Orsillo's on a heater. That's all I know. Red Sox legend. You guys know that the Red Sox just kind of like ousted him from the job in 2015 for no reason, even though everyone loved him. And then they hired their own guy, Dave O'Brien, who does it now, and I think he's great. Most people have had trouble warming up to him because he's replacing Don Orsillo.
Yeah. I've seen a lot on Twitter.
He goes to San Diego and everyone loves him there.
I've seen a lot on Twitter about Red Sox fans aren't happy with like the Nesson broadcast.
Well, what
it's just like not super high quality. Or
what
something.
Had happened was there's a few things that have happened. The Red Sox, like, if you're gonna be this bad to start the year, you need to have other things to talk about, and Nesson provides that. So they introduced this new scorebook. They had been running the exact same scorebook for like 15 years. It was awful. Like it was just one navy rectangle, and then like Arial font, white lettering, BOS score, other team score, you know, the inning, the bases, whatever. Really bad, but, like, kind of endearing. You know, if you have that for 15 years, you're kind of like, it's cute, you know? So they decided to switch it. I'm like, okay, this could be good. Dude, it's huge, man. It's so big. And they have these ads that will show up on the scoreboard, which I haven't seen other teams do, that are massive. There's this Vanguard ad that has to stay up there the whole first inning. Dude, when it's up there, it's like a quarter of the screen.
There's like a meme of it. It's just a meme of it where it takes out the entire thing.
It's so awful.
Back at it with Red Sox baseball. I know you couldn't see that pitch, but it was a ball.
When the Astros played them, I did watch the Nesson broadcast for a little bit because I like to just see the difference.
Yep.
And I do remember how absurdly large the thing was. Yeah.
No, it's awful. And then there was a game against St. Louis where the Red Sox had technical difficulties which made it such that they only had one camera. It was the third base side camera. So for an inning,
that's the one
the
I
only
saw.
Camera that was showing the game was just the one that normally zooms in on a right-handed pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty much just doing that every at bat, is just zooming in on the right-handed pitcher and then zooming out right before he throws and then trying to capture the ball in motion as it's thrown, which they could not do. And then once it's hit, they would just zoom back in on the pitcher because, like, you have no hope of finding that ball if you're the third base cam instead of, like, the above home camera. That was, like, pretty emblematic of the season, I felt.
It's, like, not even 20
there
games
was, like, the worst part was that they started using
the vision of the pitcher's reactions to everything.
Yes, they started using the MLB, like, official cameras that were there that St. Louis uses for their broadcasts. I'm like, okay, you know, they don't have control over what is shown on those cameras because they're not the ones directing them, but at least they have cameras. And then immediately in... they switched to cameras and Brian Bayo gets up a home run and they, like, I guess didn't know which camera to switch to. Like, maybe the numbers were different with the new camera setup. And you can hear the contact and then it's just this slow zoom in on his face the entire time. It's just Brian Bayo's face. So good. We're 7-11. We're bad.
I mean, I watched a game where I had two innings of just no score bug at all. I didn't realize till the, like, second inning. I was like, I don't even know the score in this game. I just have it on right now. This is all right. This is fun. Well,
yeah, the Astros have been so bad that the broadcast team has stopped talking about baseball after the second inning in multiple games this season. Multiple games. We've just been doing food reviews and talking about weekend plans in the third inning. Yeah, that's how bad it's gone.
That's what you get. That's what you should get in, like,
we've had
August.
A starter,
that's August activity. Like,
we've had a starter make it through the fifth inning in six games.
Okay.
Half. No, not even six. So we had Lance McCullers. We've had two Hunter Brown starts.
Yep.
So it actually might only be three. And then there was one EMI start. So four games out of the 19 we've played, a starter has made it through the fifth inning.
Okay, those might have all been against the Reds.
I think two of them definitely were.
McCullers and Brown definitely.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's been a rough go of it for the Stros, but Hunter Brown's on the IL. Tatsuya Imai's on the IL because he misses home. He's literally on the IL with homesickness.
Is that the official designation?
I think it's right arm soreness.
Okay.
Right arms are.
But he's doing
a
long all these interviews.
From the heart.
He's doing all these interviews.
It's actually pretty close.
On how he's been here for since November, I think, maybe December.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing all these interviews on how he doesn't have any friends and how he's homesick and how he isn't used to when people eat dinner now because people eat dinner at the clubhouse instead of going home.
Okay.
And all the fans are like, you can just go home to eat dinner then. It's not that big of a deal. Just if where you're eating dinner is making you suck, then change where you eat dinner, dude. It's not that big of a deal. He's gone through three different translators in 20 games. Brother, figure it out.
I don't know. Well,
you're being paid.
These translators,
you're
they
being
might be
paid $20 million.
Funds.
Yeah.
You never know.
They might be putting down sports bets you don't know about.
Maybe,
but somehow they have
very much
yeah,
know about.
But they somehow have access to your
I don't
finances.
Know.
Allegedly. Asterisk. Yeah, no. Imai's been the biggest waste of money ever. Pitched three games, a total of 14 innings, and he's homesick now. Unbelievable. And then we got Ryan Weiss, who's supposed to be this big guy. He's pitched. Oh my god, he's got like a 9 ERA. We got Mike Burrows who.
Mike Burrows. Shout out Mike Burrows.
That guy sucks, dude. Well, he's terrible.
Okay.
He's also got like an 8.5 ERA.
No.
Spencer Arrighetti's back. He looked good the other day, actually. JP France is back. He hasn't pitched in the major league since 2023. Not a big deal. Who else have we got pitching? I don't even know anymore because everyone's hurt. Hunter Brown's on the IL. Lance McCullers. I guess he's actually still pitching. He might be pitching tonight. Who knows? They suck, so Yankees fans rejoice. The Astros are dead. But so is actually the entire AL West. The entire AL West just
really the
sucks.
Entire AL.
Yeah.
Like,
the Rangers,
I think every AL team has been, like, very mediocre.
The Rangers are 10-9 in first place in the AL West. The A's are 10-9 tied for first place in the AL West. And then you got the Astros, who are 2-8 in their last 10 games.
Oh.
Yeah. Mets have lost 8 in a row.
Ooh. That's not great.
I don't know, but what do you guys think about, like, for me, it's obviously the exact same as last season, except last season they started hot, and then for 3 months straight, we're bad. Obviously the same vibes, but it almost feels like it's different. Like, it feels like the same inevitable doom, but it almost feels, obviously the results are so similar, because they have this revamped lineup, and it's fourth worst in baseball so far, and they didn't do that much through rotation. They added Peralta, who's been okay, but they still have, like, you can't really trust Senga. He's still really struggling to get depth. He's still walking a lot. And then Lindor's stuff is like, that's what's different. It's like, Lindor threw it all last year, even when they were really bad for a really long time, was really rock solid. Like, very consistently good, both sides of the ball, MVP candidate. Man, he's been, like, bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You got Supreme Leader Lindor, who's intentionally striking out so he won't be in scoring position for Juan Soto or whatever it is. I think that's the big thing with the Mets this year, is like, Bo Bichette has struggled. But then on top of that, you've also got whatever this narrative is between Soto and Lindor, where like, you're paying one guy almost $1 billion, and the other is the face of your franchise, who's been like through it all, whether the Mets are playing well or not. He's been like the model of professionalism for the Mets in the face of the team. And there's this, whether it's manufactured or not, the storyline of beef between them, not good. Plus the other guy, you just paid a lot of money.
There's nothing to back that up, is there?
I don't think so, but it's like the looks they give each other. It's like,
they
give each other like dirty looks. Like, I don't
know.
It's
so Mets coded, man. It's like trying to find something.
I don't know. If you listen to Frank the Tank,
the team's not playing well.
Lindor like kidnapped Juan Soto's family or something. They hate each other.
I don't know. We all do.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like, so does one guy, but since he's been out, the Mets' offense has been awful. Yeah. They're scoring like three runs a game, 3.42 runs a game the entire season with Soto, who started well.
Well, that's the other thing is last year Soto started like very poorly.
Yeah.
This year he's
very
meh. And then
wasn't even an all-star.
Down the stretch, Soto was like incredible.
Yeah.
Whereas this year he's been like good enough. He's been fine.
Yeah. We'll see when he comes back. I mean, I think it was just 15-day. So like, obviously, if you're a Mets fan, you're inclined to say, okay, when he's back, then we'll evaluate. And the pitching, like overall, there's the same issues with starting depth for some of the guys. Obviously, McLean, not a problem. Peralta's been solid. But like, Sango struggled with depth. Peterson's a guy who I don't really trust after the end of last year. Just sustained struggles for him last few months of the season. But, man, like, this defense actually has given up 4.16 runs per game. So, like, very solid pitching and defense.
Yeah, the thing about David
Three runs a game. I know it's without Soto, but that's insane. You have guys now. Like, the entire point of the offseason was revamping the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, like, a stat I was not aware of. Three runs a game is... bordering on all-time terrible.
You know what's crazy? Lindor has a 71 WRC plus. It's the third best among active players on the team.
Does Soto qualify? Or?
Since he's out, they're not including him. Okay. He's got a 159.
What is it?
But
Vientos
it's Alvarez and Robert. And then Lindor, everyone else. And then Benj and Beatty have been really bad at the plate.
Yeah, that's... I don't. It's like the whole thing was that they were just revamped it. They brought in all these shortstops that they were gonna put all over the infield.
Yeah,
and then that hasn't even really happened. But the idea was you didn't really care about the defensive side of it. You were gonna bring them in to play offense, and that's why you brought in Polanco and Bichette, because you were like the offensive firepower was gonna be good enough. And then Bichette is playing, like,
atrocious.
If he wasn't making as much money, he wouldn't be in the lineup type atrocious. Mm. So, I don't even know where you go. I guess you just hope that when Soto comes back, things start to click. Like, granted, we are only 20 games into the season. Some people are just, like, historically bad starters. And once you get into May, like mid-May, things start to turn around offensively. But what you don't want to be in a situation is where you're, you know, 15 games under 500 going into May. Because...
Well, they also... Haven't they been starting pretty good the last couple of years, though?
They usually, last year, they had the best record in baseball for 2 months.
And then the
year
before that...
they just had an all-time fall off.
All-time.
The year before that, they were, like, decent to start. Then they sucked. And then they went on a crazy run towards the end of the season. But... Yeah, no, they don't usually start out this poorly. But
the vibes just feel low, though. Like, teams that, like... Even just think about the Brewers last year. They didn't start great, obviously, getting outscored the way they did against the Yankees in that open series. But, like, it never really felt like it was like, the season's over. I mean, it's also because it's Mets fans,
like,
but it's
Brewers,
like, it feels like the Mets fans
the Brewers
are almost
like
it's
over.
Like
a team that always will find ways to win, even if it's not pretty at all, the small ball. The Mets, the vibes the past 2 years for the Mets is like...
Well, it's so reliant on star success that if it's not happening, the
if
rest
it's not
of
happening,
it's
nothing.
Not
like last year, the bottom of that order was awful. I mean, so bad. Vientos, Beatty, Torrens, whoever else they'd stick down
and
there.
Yeah,
like,
they'd throw someone in
and
there. And
I don't
work.
Even dislike. I mean, I'm not like a big Vientos guy, but like I have some hopes for Beatty. I think Torrens is a really good backup catcher, but like that lineup compared to you start off with Lindor, Soto, Alonso. And then you go down to that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was...
you're getting an automatic out for half of your lineup. It's what it felt like and what the stats reflected, too. And this year, it's theoretically a more deep and consistent lineup where you have guys hitting bottom half of the order that are, like Semien's a better hitter, theoretically, than the guys they had out there last year. But the results are the exact same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other thing I will say is a big reason why it feels... so hopeless right now is because 20 games into the season, losing 8 straight is devastating, especially when you start out. I guess they would have been 7-2, 7-3 to start out the season.
No, they were starting out just fine.
Yeah. Had a winning record. They were 7-4 to start out the season, and then you lose 8 straight. All of a sudden, you're 5 games under. And an eight game losing streak in April is a lot different than an 8 game losing streak in the middle of August.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it may not feel like that if you're on the team, but
no,
for
it's
a fan
just so
perspective,
easy to overreact
when you're
early.
when that where you are in the standings can fluctuate so much. It's a big overreaction, especially when the guys you just gave a lot of money to and the guys you just made huge moves in the offseason for aren't performing.
They also, I feel like I don't think the Mets 2 years ago they had it. Last year they proved to not have it. This year I feel like it's even less. Just that like almost the players would take the impact of an 8-game losing streak harder right now than they would in July, June, August. Like Francisco Lindor only having 1 RBI on the season.
Yeah,
it's pretty rough.
That's insane.
And that's a recent RBI. I think from like the last 2 games, maybe that was an RBI. It's like, I don't think there's anyone, and I love Francisco Lindor, but like I don't think there's anyone on that team who's necessarily going to be like able to bring them out of that. Just be like leadership wise, like they have enough good players that if they all get a couple of them get hot, then they can bring them out of that. But I don't think there's anyone in the team that's able to just be like, all right, like we suck right now, let's be better, and then they start playing better. Most teams don't have that, I feel like, but most teams aren't also under the pressure that I feel like the Mets are every year.
Yeah.
Like most teams are like, we're going to play baseball, but like we don't have to worry about all the extra stuff.
I mean, yeah, outside of Juan Soto and Francisco Alvarez, the only two guys on this team with an OPS above 650, heck, above 600, are Jared Young and Luis Robert.
Yeah, and Young's out right now.
And Young's out. It's, I don't even know what you do there. Like, there's Carson Beng, 460, Bo Bichette, 570, Francisco Lindor, 570, Jorge Polanco, 530, Semien, 530, Tyrone Taylor, 580, Vientos, 590, Brett Beatty, 485, Ronnie Mauricio in his 4 at-bats, 500, MJ Melendez in his 1 singular game, 1,500 OPS.
Whoa.
Get that guy some more ABs.
Whoa. More.
But
there's
then
a game.
It's like Luis Torrens, 579, but he's a backup catcher, so it's whatever. But that's your backup catcher who's out hitting every other guy in your lineup, basically, with a 5.9, 5.80 OPS. It's like, and they don't have the top arms to kind of make up for awful hitting, which, as we've seen, but, like, McLean could win a Cy Young, Peterson could finish second in Cy Young, and they'd still lose 100 games because of how horrendous this lineup's been.
And but, it feels like a team that, and it, this was what I felt last year, and it's been the same this year, where they're immune to sparks. Like, most teams can have a spark in a game or in an entire game where you have, like, a one bounce-back game, score 13 runs, or you have a leadoff homer, some big play that rejuvenates a team that's been struggling, and then they get it going, get the win. Like, Tuesday, Lindor led off the game with a home run. Next 20 guys got out.
Yeah.
Like, it does not matter what the spark plug is with this team. Nothing has clicked for them after those moments that, for most teams, are able to turn around slumps. Which is such a bizarre phenomenon.
All
that
the people
it's been they, the Mets that
all the
been
people they
team.
Got to like make this team great have never played in like a market like New York.
That's true.
So they're
too.
Just hearing all this. They see Lindor at home run. They're probably like, "Oh, cool." Like, I'm still gonna get booed when I strike out for the 20th time. They just can't handle it.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No, that's like adjusting to playing in New York or Boston
like,
is.
Bo Bichette definitely can't handle it.
Yeah,
he's used to like Toronto. Where they like. Yes, Polanco. Like they're all used to like fan bases that like this is their one team. Like this,
yeah,
is, like,
Polanco, Seattle.
Yeah, like this
their
is
their fan base.
Seattle's fan base is amazing because they're like they're used to being so bad that like when they're good, they're like super excited about it.
Yeah, it hasn't been a better fan base in the past 2 years than Seattle.
Yeah,
and now you adjust to a Mets fan base that's like, we need to win now.
Yeah,
like,
what do you mean we haven't won every single game this year?
Right.
What do you mean we're not going 162?
That's another thing is Mets fans like. For your, the sake of your own mental health, like,
well, I mean, we're not
just
even
have some faith.
They haven't even played 20 games yet.
Yeah, and they're freaking out.
The season's over. The world's ending.
Like 11%.
Last year,
to be kicked off the team, and Francisco Lindor needs to be like marched through Times Square.
Last year, the Brewers gave up like 40 runs in the first series, and I was like, it's gonna happen. Like, we'll come back.
Yeah,
and we did. We had the best season ever. Other teams like the Pirates and the Reds, and this is just straight shade to the Pirates and the Reds fans. They start off hot, acting like their team isn't built of cardboard, and like they're not going to collapse by July. And they do every July, and I call it every July. Every time I've been on a nosebleed, I'm like, yeah, they're going to fall by then.
I was so like, you're no, saying I'm that again.
It. Yeah, July, the Reds and the Pirates. Maybe not the Pirates. The Reds for sure. The
Pirates pitching staff.
Are going to be at the bottom of the NL Central.
Not enough people are talking about the fact that
Pirates, though. I
the Astros
Pirates,
got
actually.
Swept by the Mariners, swept by the Rockies, almost swept by the Athletics. Sorry, I'm just looking at the Astros.
Who even is on the Rockies right now?
I don't know, but the Astros
have some fun things
there
going
any,
on there.
The
there's
Astros
a lot of guys who are like, I'd never
Rockies
heard of him before this year, and he's got an 850 OPS.
Who, Hunter Goodman?
Catcher? Rumfield.
Rumfield, that, I don't like that
they
guy.
They just need to like pick up like guys who've been ostracized from other
that's
teams, like
how it is.
Colton Wong.
That's what they're
thinking of. Colton Wong.
The Rockies
off the top
are good.
Of the Nolan Gorman.
The staff thing.
Yeah, take Nolan Gorman.
Take Nolan
he
Gorman.
Hit 40 homers.
He could hit 40 homers there. Keep him close to home. Keep him close to Arizona.
Like a Rocky, man.
You know, Nolan Gorman actually once coached third base for my club team once. Yeah,
how'd that go?
Cool.
Nerd.
I dove into home plate and got hit in the face with the ball.
Chill.
Cried a little bit from so, Nolan Gorman. It wasn't cool. I was young. No, but honestly, if the Rockies came out and made the playoffs this year, that'd be pretty cool. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's more likely than the Reds.
Whoa, that's kind of a, like objectively crazy take.
Last season, the Reds fans celebrated not getting swept by the Brewers. Nah. When they were on that four, when they broke like the win streak that they went through, Reds fans on Twitter were like, "Can't sweep the Reds.
Yeah,
never been
can't
swept.
Sweep us.
Like you guys are 20 games out of the playoffs.
That's so good."
And then didn't they actually make up?
Yeah,
they made
they
the playoffs. They ended up after I said that they ended up making it. But
yeah, because you can't sweep the Reds.
Because you can't sweep the Reds, which I guess is a thing to be proud of. Unless you're losing every series, but it is a thing to be proud of. and the new city. Just bring me back to when the Reds were the worst dangerous team with Yasiel Puig. Was it Dietrich? Was it Dietrich?
Derek Dietrich. And Yasiel Puig, yeah.
And then Garrett, or who was the pitcher they had?
Amir Garrett,
who fought the Pirates every single... That was the best Red season in the last 20 years. Just because they fought the Pirates every single time. They wore the vest with no sleeves under.
Yeah.
That was cool. Derek Dietrich pimped every home run that he hit against the Pirates, and that resulted in, like, 8 fights. Yasiel Puig, that season, got traded after fighting, and it, like, he literally fought the Pirates after getting traded mid-game. They kept him in the game for whatever reason. He saved a run.
Puig is such an interesting... He saved a run. Someone's got to do, like, a documentary on YouTube about
Yasiel. I think he's in Mexico playing. Maybe.
He's in Mexico just living.
He's probably living in Mexico.
He's retired.
I don't know what he's doing these days.
No, he seems like a guy who would play until he's 50.
Yeah, like you just like one day just get a post on MLB, like the Instagram, and it's just going to be like Yasiel Puig, 50 years old, Mexican League. Be like, oh,
yeah,
forgot about that guy.
Because he kind of like, it was kind of sudden how quickly he dropped off. Like he was becoming like a true superstar.
Yeah, that was quick. He had a little bit of legal issues as well that we don't want to talk about, but... Baseball wise, he did fall off base like skill wise as well though. So there's that. He was so fun to watch though. I wasn't even a Dodgers fan, but he was like a great. He was excited.
No, between the arm and the bat, in his prime.
Oh yeah,
I thought he was actually gonna be like a superstar.
He just flew too close to the sun.
He licked the bat a lot too, which is pretty sick. He was an interesting guy.
He just flew way too close to the sun. He just was like, he peaked too quickly.
Speaking of another interesting thing that has absolutely nothing to do with baseball,
okay.
Well, I guess he does have a brother that plays baseball, but Jaxon Smith-Njigba
were
a size 12 at Ohio State.
Okay.
A lot of hamstring issues.
Yeah.
Turns out he was a size 10 and a half, and that's why he's not injured anymore, because the Seahawks scanned his feet and were like, you're actually a 10 and a half.
How did he
ego.
Not know?
I don't know. Just straight ego.
Just ego.
I'm a 10 and a half. It's okay.
Speaking of that, is his brother still in the league? Cannon Smith-Njigba?
Cannon's a fire first name.
Yeah.
For a baseball player.
Play for the Pirates for a little bit. I don't know. Oh my god. Google AI, I'm not looking for you. I just
What's your deal?
Free agent.
With Google AI.
It's just annoying.
I've never had
helpful.
This before.
It's not helpful at all.
You're the only person that I know it switches straight to Google AI.
Why
every
does it
time?
Do that? Does it do it again if I do it? All right. Autofill.
Yeah.
See, why would it do that?
You can just press all.
Oh.
Barrett's been like an old man today. Like, he's a lot of complaints.
Oh, stupid. My goodness.
That's stupid.
How I had dumb. A professor yesterday who was running like a webinar thing in class. It was weird. But he was like cutting out. The mic kept cutting out. And by the way, you were in Hughes where the whole room's a mic. And he was trying to use the main mic. And it kept cutting out. And he kept trying to push through it. And then you'd go, did you guys hear that? To the people on the Zoom. And they'd be like, what? No. we heard one word out of that entire sentence. What are you talking about? Did we hear that? He figured out he was talking to it like he was, the microphone was like in his mouth. He's like, oh, I think I'm too close to the mic. I was like, yeah, dude. It's in your mouth.
All right. Well, we've strayed a little far from baseball here, so I think that's probably our cue to wrap it up. We've been all over the place today, for
sure.
It's a
beautiful thing.
But, hey, it's a beautiful Friday in the spring of our last semester here at Fordham, so why not? I've been Barrett Spreitzer, joined by Max Spitzer and Joe Henry on the mic, Derek Bollier on the board. This has been another episode of Nosebleeds on WFUV Sports.